So I mentioned that we're going to talk a little bit about worship today. Now, here's the kind of the big picture of what we're talking about. We talk about worship. We started this whole series talking about community. We talked about the Bible. We talked about service, all those many things. Today, I want to talk about something that's kind of a picture of what all those things are put together. And they're all grounded in this spirit and picture of what worship is. Now, oftentimes we think worship is something that we come and do, like I'm going to a worship service, or, you know, the part where we sing music, that's the worship part of song. But, you know, technically, scripturally, that's not accurate. As a matter of fact, it started way back when with the people of Israel when they got things out of sorts as well. Because if we're not careful, we will turn worship into something that is good about what we do rather than something that we bring as honor before a holy God. And if we miss it, we miss the whole joy of what it's like to walk in the power and the presence of Christ. So I don't want you to miss that. Now, here in the Deep South, and I'm part of this because I was born to live in the Deep South, but here in the Deep South, you know what this time of year brings up? I mean, we call it fall, and you start buying pumpkin lattes, even though it's 100 degrees, because we live in Georgia. And you know what? We start talking about fall, and yet we walk out, and you sweat before you get to the car. But it's fall. Right? And we know it's fall because football has started, right? And I know y'all are fired up. I am too. I'm so fired up. I watched Vanderbilt play football, which is a bit of a misnomer, last night. That is really hard. You got to love football to watch Vanderbilt play football. I mean, that's hard. And yet, there I was. I mean, between the race and Vandy, there I was. I was set, right? And you know what's interesting about those of us that live in the Deep South and have been here for a while and have our favorite teams? Man, we know how to holler, don't we? Now, if you're from above, say, Virginia, holler means shout. Like, we know how to holler. Because here in the South, we holler about a lot of things, right? But when it comes to football, man, we know how to holler. So, like, if this morning, if I did this and I said, boy, if you're an Auburn fan, shout. I mean, y'all would do whatever y'all do. I know. See, there you are. I know. Bless your heart. And so then I would say, well, if you're a Florida fan, you'd do whatever Florida fans do, right? I mean, as obnoxious as it may be, they do it. And then if I said, if you're an Alabama fan, I mean, they do RTR, you know, whatever else they do. You know, if you're a Tennessee fan, you know, they do their thing, you know, the Rocky Top thing, which is just obnoxious. And then they do that, you know, and then, like, if you're a South Carolina fan, I mean, all one of you would be fired up about that. I mean, you know, I could just go across. And then when I got to Georgia and a Dogs fan, I mean, y'all would bark and go crazy about it. I know, because I'm one of you, right? I mean, I don't even try to be humble about it this year because I don't know if we'll ever be back here again. But right now, I'm just going to enjoy it. Just give me that moment. Thank you. And so with that in mind, I want to ask you a question. Would you just do this for me? Raise your hand as high as you can. Go ahead. I know some of y'all are way too cool. Keep on going. Now, here's what I want you to do. Raise it a little higher. Look at there. Every single person was able to go higher. The first thing I said was, raise your hand as high as you can. And then I said, raise it higher, and you went higher, didn't you? I bet if I'd done it again, you could have gone one more. Worship is higher. What we do that people expect us to do is to holler about football. Or if I brought up political things, heaven knows I'm not doing that. But if I brought up political things, I'd have folks hollering for the right. I'd have folks hollering for the left. I'd have folks hollering for neither right or left. But we know how to holler when it comes to football and to politics. But when it comes to Jesus, all of a sudden, that's personal to me, Pastor. I'm just wondering, what is it we actually worship? Like, what is it that we actually worship? Because worship is literally what our heart and its affection is toward. And whatever our heart has its affection set upon, that is what comes out of our mouth, and that is the action that comes out of our feet and our hands. Because the overflow of the heart is inevitably shown in our voice in our hands. Now, if you're looking on our app and trying to follow me on the slides, you're thinking he's nowhere near this. You're going to have to go about middle way through the sermon because I slacked off the first half, All right? So I'm going to start in John 4, and we're going to stay there for a little bit. That's a big deal. In John 4, when there's a Samaritan woman that Jesus meets at the well, she points to a mountain and says that's her place of worship. Now, you could look at her and say, but you're right in front of Jesus. But at this point, she doesn't know who he is yet, right? She's about to figure it out. So she points and says, but I have to go over there to that mountain. I have to go there to worship. And then Jesus responds with this beautiful understanding. He says that there would be a time that would come, and it's already come, he says, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That is the kind of worshiper that Jesus is seeking. Now, when Jesus puts all this out there, nobody gets the concept of spirit and truth. And I would argue we still don't get the concept of spirit and truth. So I'm going to take it as most elementary form. You could teach this 100 different ways, but I want to put this where people like me could get it. When we worship in spirit, we are literally saying that this is the directive in my life of God's spirit. Now watch this. We're separated from God because of our sin. That because of that, we don't deserve heaven and we don't deserve to be in right relationship with God, our creator, because all of us have sinned and come short of God's perfection. Now, God, though, in his loving care, who absolutely loves us unconditionally. There's nothing you do can make him love you more or love you less. He just loves you. Wanted to be in right relationship with you. So he sent his son, Jesus, who could pay the price for all of my sin and yours by shedding his blood and dying on that old rugged cross. And when Jesus did that, he was buried and 3 days later rose from the dead. Now watch this. When God did that, he made a way in which we could receive a gift, the third part of God's Trinity. There's God the Father, creator and sustainer, God the Son, Jesus, our Savior, and God the Holy Spirit, our keeper. Now watch this. If he's our keeper and counselor, what happens is when we trust Jesus with our life, he gives us the gift of his Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit then gives us direction and gives us counsel. So what we know is when we worship in spirit, we are worshiping in the direction of God directing us inside. Are you with me? Now, there's a million other ways to look at that, but what we're really doing is we're hearing the Spirit of God, and we recognize that he is God and we are not. So we come directed in worship with this one picture, that I need him and he loves me. Do you get that? It's not the other way around. It is he loves me unconditionally and I need him. And when we worship in spirit, we put ourselves in that order. By the way, there's nobody else between that. It's a willingness to say, I'm going to lay down my ego and my logo, and I'm not going to try to stand before a holy and a righteous God and claim that I'm anything more than what I am, which is a person that has had sin in their life and needed forgiveness through Jesus the Lord. Period. And when I chose to ask Jesus to forgive me, he gave me this spirit, and this spirit is now directing me to say, I love you, Lord, and I offer my worship. But in truth, watch this, it is the recognition that all truth is straight from heaven. Now, we live in a world that wants to say this, okay, there's a circle over there on the wall, but Pastor, you know what? I would rather see it as a square. Therefore, it's my truth. Now, let me just stop and say, I mean, even a person with minimal reasoning skills would say a circle is a circle, right? But I'm not here to fight with that. I'm here to say to you that when we worship in spirit and truth, we are accepting that God alone owns all truth, period, right? And you say, well, Chuck, that sounds awfully narrow-minded. I would argue that the creator of the entire world has the opportunity to make a circle anything he wants it to be. And he has the opportunity to convince me to love him because he first loved me. And he chose me, by the way. I mean, if you go back up where we were living in Ephesians, you find in Ephesians chapter 1, the entire story about how God chose me. As a matter of fact, in Romans 12:1, Listen to what Paul says. I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You say, but wait a minute, Chuck. Why would I do that? Because back in Ephesians 1:4, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now watch this. Have you ever thought about how cool it is to be chosen? Like when you were a kid, were you the first or the last person chose to play kickball? Well, I mean, there's nothing like somebody said, I'm in. Like when I played ball in high school, there was nothing like knowing that I had scouts there that said they want to choose me to play ball. There's nothing like when I said, hey, Jenny, will you marry me? And she looked at me and said, yes. And it's like, who's the man? Right? There's nothing like being chosen, but God himself looked at you and said, I love you. I don't care what's going on in your life. I love you. And you might be here today and you say, no, but Chuck, no. And I want to say to you, because of Jesus and just Jesus, he showed his love for you. And because of that, we should offer him worship, because worship is not something you do. Worship is something that you share. Worship is not an event. Worship is not something you go to at a certain time. Worship is your life, and it is the way you walk through this journey. It is all worship, and we all worship something. Thankfully, Paul, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, explains how to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. He starts off by saying, present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God. Now, that sounds to me like significant dedication. Like, I am dedicated to the Lord. Why? Well, he chose me. He picked me. He wants me to be on his winning team. Who doesn't want to be on a winning team? Don't y'all remember when the Braves were awful? I mean, the Braves would have 4,000 people show up to watch them because they were terrible. I mean, truly. And I would just offer praise God. But in the midst of that, we all want to be a part of a winning team. Listen, I know how God created the world. Are you ready? He said he did. For God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you want to say, how did he do that? Don't know, don't care. I'm taking him at his word. I know how it ends. You know how it ends? When I choose Jesus, I win. And I look at that and I think, well, Chuck, how is it all going to happen? I don't know, but I know this. I know who wins. And I want to be on that team. I want to, well, listen, he picked you. You say, well, now, Chuck, let's talk about the specifics. Okay, I want to share this with you. Stop it! Just take God at his word. He made you to worship. And he made you more to worship. In Greek, the word present, it means to yield. Present isn't like, ooh, I need to look good. Like, you know, y'all see some folks in worship and they're just, I mean, they're swinging from the chandeliers. Now, you know, a lot of times that is real honest to goodness expression of worship. And other times they just need to make you believe that they're super spiritual. And you say, well, Chuck, can you tell? No, that's not my job. That's between them and God. Your job is to deal with you. You got to deal with you. Yield. You know what yield means? I slow down. Sometimes I have a willingness to stop, but I acknowledge. Now, some of y'all yield by going from 60 to 55 and don't even think about it. I mean, I know. I see you leaving the parking lot. By the way, thank you for being nice to the parking lot crew last week. Could you do it again? And remember, wave with all fingers. Okay? It'll bless them, I promise you. All right? You want to give them a high five along the way? That'd be super cool. Just slow down when you do it. Yield. Yield is a willingness to stop, but it's also a willingness to slow down. If there's ever something to be reminded of when we come to worship, is you got to slow down to hear the voice of God. Slow your mind and your heart down to hear the voice of God. Yielding our bodies for the service of God out of free will instead of obligation is the first step. You don't come to worship because you have to. You worship because you desire to be closer to God. There's three conditions, he says, alive, holy, and pleasing. Then everything the true believer does should be a form of spiritual worship. You say, but Chuck, I like to bark. Okay, watch this. Jesus came along and said the most important thing in the world was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then what else? And love others as you love yourself. At no time did Jesus say, what I need you to do is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and be as weird as you can be. Right? At no time did he say that. I would argue that if you follow the red letters of Jesus, his entire institution of how he built this life was that you and I were to have such a bonded relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that literally all that we go and do, including when you bark and holler and war eagle and all that other stuff, that literally you can love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you don't have to be a weirdo. But hear me. If you can bark and holler about everything but Jesus, I would stop and ask you, are you sure that Jesus knows you like you think you know him? You say, Chuck, now that's a little harsh right there. You doggone right it is. Because at some point, you got to settle in your heart. Do I have that spirit that allows me to worship in spirit and truth? And if I don't, how do I get it? And it is simple as claiming Jesus. Well, how do I do that? Well, Jesus, would you forgive me of all my sin? And Jesus, I believe you died for me, buried for me, and raised from the dead for me. And would you come into my life? I want to live for you. And you say, Chuck, is that what I do? You doggone right. Well, how do you know that? Scripture said it. How do I believe it? Because it's spirit and truth. I worship well throughout my life when Christ is at the top of the priority in my life. And when he's not, I don't worship well. It's that simple. You see, it takes dedication, but also takes a little insulation. He says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this present world. Take an electric wire. Its insulation prevents the wire from coming into contact with external conditions and creating a short circuit. How many of you have ever been electrocuted? Let me see your hands. I've done it before because I'm one of those fools that believes you can change a light fixture out without turning the breaker off because then I'd have to go all the way down and back up, right? And then occasionally when you like that, you know? And I mean, you know those pictures on the cartoons where your hair goes like that? It feels like that. I mean, so those of you that have never been electrocuted, turn the breaker off, right? But my point is that that current gets where it's supposed to go because it's insulated, but the current keeps going. So hear me. Jesus didn't save you to keep you from the world. He saved you to deliver his power into the world. We are not to be so weird in our belief that we are not in the world living for Christ. If you want to be a singer, run to wherever you can sing, but bring Jesus with you. You want to be an actor or actress, run to wherever you want to do that, but bring Jesus with you. You want to make $1 billion in the stock market, bring Jesus with you. You want to be a judge, bring Jesus with you. You want to sell real estate, bring Jesus with you. Because wherever you go, he is already there. Acknowledge that and worship him in spirit and truth. But you got to have a willingness to prioritize him over you. Okay, now Chuck, now we have the problem now. The world continuously presses believers and followers of Jesus to conform to its value system. But watch this. Our will and the grace of God are the insulation that shield us. Now those two words, our will, sounds like your willpower. But it is not, because I'll promise you, the reason we sin is one, because to us it's fun, and two, because we think we can overcome all things when the only one who said is the one that did overcome all things. So it's our will doing this. I surrender my will to the presence of God's Spirit so that he is in a higher priority than my desire for my life, because I know he'll give me what's best for me if I allow him. Now, can you see that? I surrender our will, and then the grace of God comes together and insulates us so that we don't have to become the world, but we can deliver the grace, the love, the joy, the hope that comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ that is live and well within us in spirit and in truth. Not somebody's version of the truth, but the truth. You say, well, but Chuck, that's your version of the truth. No, that's God's version of the truth. You see, the argument isn't with me, then the argument is with God himself. And then finally, if we're going to take a look at this at dedication, we're going to look at insulation. Let me give you the third one, which is transformation. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you say, well, all right, Chuck, I knew we were going to get here. You've heard Julie and I talk about this when we talk about how new neuropathways are a necessity if you're going to change the way you think. I believe when Paul pens this message, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he tells us exactly why. He says, because then you will know God's will for you. Number one question I get from folks is, how do I know what God's will is for my life? And here's what I'd say. Have you attempted to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? You say, well, one, Chuck, if I knew what that meant, I'd try it. All right? Well, now watch this. The renewing of your mind literally is this. Your brain is like a tractor in a field. It's been going one way for so many years that you have a nice, clear, rutted path where the wheels of that tractor have gone time after time after time. And now you think, you know, going that way is not serving me really well, but you're in a cornfield, so you decide to head a different direction one day. And as you head that direction, those corn stalks are slapping you in the face and breaking up your arms, and it's hard to get through. But if you keep going long enough, consistently enough, and sincerely enough, what'll happen is you'll have a new path that becomes much clearer and smoother. That is exactly what neuropathways do in your brain. Your neuropathway says, I gotta get up, I gotta go, I got things to do, and then you tell me on Sundays, I'm just so busy. I'm like, well, of course you are. Your brain is fried because you're going 900 miles an hour without renewing your mind. And the renewing of your mind says this, okay, the way I'm living is not getting me where I need to go. So watch this. God, would you give me the joy of renewing my mind and strengthen me? You say, Chuck, but does God really hear me? Okay, watch this. The simple question itself says that you don't believe God for who he is. The simple act of asking God for what you need is an act of submission in spirit and truth itself. That alone is an act of worship. God, would you? And when you do, then that tractor starts heading that way. Now watch this. What happens to us humans, we think God's going to immediately give you a smooth path. That's not how it works. Occasionally, the will of God will splat you up against a boulder, because if it were easy, we'd naturally go that way. If we didn't have problems in our life, we would never turn to God, because our humanity believes in our pride so much that we think we can do it all on our own. God's not going to always make it easy, but he's going to make it fruitful. He's going to make it joyful. He's going to make it blessed. He's going to make it profitable. He's going to make it something that you gain from. And when it's all said and done, you will see the renewing of your mind clarifies the will of God for you. And then the third thing he says, and it is good and pleasing and perfect in the eyes of God. Come on. You say, well, Chuck, but you know, you don't know how much I've got to do. Here's what I do know. You can't afford to not be in the process of allowing God to renew your mind so that you can know the will of God for you, so that you can live good and pleasing and perfect. Abraham Lincoln was asked one time, Mr. President, why do you spend so much time in preparation? He said, sir, if we're going to have a wood chopping contest, you're going to start slinging your axe, and we're going to see how much wood we can cut in 15 minutes. And I'm going to spend the first 7 minutes sharpening my axe, and I'll beat you every time. See, the problem is most of us, many of us, including this guy right here, we spend our life trying to go from one thing to another, to accomplish so much, to be so productive in life, that we forget that God's pace is that you stop and ask for help and ask for the renewing of your mind and allow his power, his strength, his spirit, his truth to direct us. And when we don't do that, we're slinging dull axes all day long. You say, well, Chuck, that would mean that that's got to affect all my life. Remember, worship is not an event. It is your life. It is designed to be your life. We have all been made for more, and that requires worship. If worship is a lifestyle, then it affects every part of you, all of you. It's not a t-shirt you wear or a conference you attend or a song you like. I think we ought to consider our senses. Are you using your eyes to constantly see more of his glory and stand more involved? Well, you know, Chuck, I'm pretty busy looking at ESPN. Okay, I got it. I'm a sports fan too, guys. But if I put the scores ahead of Christ, I am not going to have a renewing of my mind. I will not know the will of God, and I will not enjoy that which is perfect. Okay, Chuck, but listen, I'm not saying give it up. I'm just saying prioritize it. That's all I'm saying. Are you using your ears to be tuned into the voice of the Holy Spirit? Well, Chuck, I don't really like Christian music. It's not what I said. Are you willing to give yourself a moment of silence so that you can hear the will of God? And are you willing to stay tuned to it in the middle of your day so that he can give you direction to go left, to go right, to go slow, to go fast? And stop counting on your task manager and your calendar to drive your life and let him do it. Let me ask you another one. Are you using your mind to comprehend the mysteries of God throughout the Bible? Or do you want to just pick up the phone or send Chuck an email and say, what does God mean when he says this? We've got more information at the tip of our fingers to know what we ought to do. And you say, who can I trust? The Spirit of God within you. That's who you can trust. And stop being lazy Christians and go dig and find out what God intends that word to mean for you. That'll help you in the renewing of your mind. Are you tasting and seeing that God is good? Are you feeling strong affection for God's deeply in your bones? Do you desire Jesus? Are you reaching out and extending God's grace into the world? Listen, if worship is to become a lifestyle, it's got to become automated. It's got to be second nature. I'm a big believer in habits. When we build spiritual habits, we won't have to wake up in the morning and have to decide whether I should read the Bible, whether I should pray, and whether I should say I'm grateful. It will become second nature. You see, many of us have the habit, we get up, we grab our phone, and we see what the email is. What if your habit was to get up and say, God, I'm grateful for two things? What if your habit was to say, I'm going to listen to the weekday podcast 5 minutes every day on my way to work or whatever? What if I'm willing to use an app like Glorify and let them read scripture to me and get it in my soul? And you say, well, Chuck, you make it sound so easy. It is. It really is. I think that's the problem with the practicalities of doing all to the glory of God. We rely on our decision-making power as to whether it will happen, and in our humanity, we're going to lose it. To change that, we need to associate the habit of morning worship with the alarm. Wake up, God. He's standing there waiting on you. A God that doesn't slumber or doesn't sleep, he's right there. Let's go do something today, and you get to make a choice every morning. I'm in or I'm not. Well, tell you what, God, I got to get that report out. And God's like, I made the report. I mean, I made you. I made your job. I gave you. You don't have a sliver? Well, I'm pretty busy, God. To change that, we've got to associate it with the alarm. We get up and we welcome God. The reward could be a closeness with Christ throughout the day that you wouldn't experience any other way. I believe it was Aristotle that said, we are what we repeatedly do. And we were made to worship, not just come to worship. In gratitude, in scripture, service, community, prayer, meditation, intentionality, groups, worship services. Anne Lamott wrote a book years ago called Help, Wow, Thank You. Now, it doesn't matter what you think about Anne Lamott, right? I mean, I love her, but she may drive you back crazy. But she made these three words that have helped me immensely in my prayer life. You ready? Help, wow, thank you. How do you pray? Help. God, I know who you are compared to me. I need help. Wow. God, I'm living today. I am breathing. I ate today. I have sustenance today. I have a roof over my head. My wife still loves me. My kids are whacked out, and I love them too, and they love me, and I got grandbabies, and it's awesome. Wow. And thank you. Thank you that you love me in spite of me. Would you give me wisdom today? Help. Wow. Thank you. Friend, if worship is only a Sunday thing, we set ourselves up to fail the rest of the week because we've been made for more, and that requires your daily lifestyle of worship. So let me ask you a question. What are you going to do tomorrow to begin the renewing of your mind? And what I invite you to do is start your day with gratitude. Insert scripture. Don't care how you do it. Listen to the weekday podcast. Get Glorify. Get Dwell. Whatever it is to get scripture in you. And then have a willingness to let that same Spirit of God lead you in worship in spirit and truth throughout your day. And when you're at lunch with your friends and you're talking about football season, bark or holler, but put Jesus above your bark and put Jesus above your holler and watch the joy that you'll experience in the power of Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you. God, as our band comes and we start to wrap up this day, I pray we'd walk out in a spirit of worship, in truth, in joy, and definitely in your spirit. God, I believe there are folks in this room that need to settle that Jesus is Lord. I believe there are folks watching online that need to settle Jesus is Lord. And they're missing that spirit in their life. And so, Lord, I would ask you today, if there's somebody in this room or somebody online that says, I want to ask Jesus to forgive me. I want to claim that Jesus died for me and rose from the dead for me. I want to live for him. I want to turn my life around and I want to live for Jesus. I want that spirit. I want that truth. God, I pray that right now they'd say, God, that's my prayer. And there's somebody in this room that'd say, Pastor Chuck, that's me. I want that. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not asking you to come up front. But listen, I'm also not ashamed. They're going to turn the house lights up just a little bit. Let me see who you are. If today you want to settle that in your life, just raise your hand big and tall so I can see. Today you want to settle Jesus as Savior. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Lord, we love you and praise you. Thank you for this ball team that came to watch their teammate follow you in baptism. God, I pray we'd have some moms and dads and adults in this room that have that kind of courage and that we'd worship you this week in spirit and truth. Lord, you are our revelation and you're our song, and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, church. Let's wrap up strong.
Everything.
you glad you came to church today? Wait a minute. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Yeah. Now we're talking. So when you leave this place today, let this Jesus we've talked about go before you and make a way and make your crooked path straight. That's what he does. Let him go within you and bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, because he is always good. And my friend, you are always loved. And when things get weird and they get funky and they get difficult, let that same Jesus come along behind you and pick you up and carry you. Not around the mess, but through the stinking middle of it. Only to set you down victoriously on your 2 feet and wipe away your tears and kiss you on the forehead and wrap you up in his big loving arms. So you can hear your Savior say, "My child," say it with me, church, "I love you." God bless y'all. Go in peace.